Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
So excited to have our next guest on, Aaliyah Goodman, Oregon State women's basketball player. She's your Pac-12 player of the week. She's the national women's basketball player of the week, and she's joining us now. What do they give you for being player of the week? Do you get like a crown, or what do you get?
No, I don't. I don't get anything. I guess you could say bragging rights, but that's about it.
They should give you something. You know what I mean? Like, that, there should be something in there for that. You guys are playing good basketball. What do you think? What flipped the switch there?
Yeah, I think honestly, just kind of getting our rhythm. We went through a few pauses, which made it hard. Going a week or a few weeks without games or games consistently, so being able to have a few consecutive games has been really nice and given us the ability to kind of get into a rhythm.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think a lot of people are struggling with that, Aaliyah. I've got three daughters, and I'm looking at them going, I think mentally it's been tough for people in the last year. But what has kept that team of yours positive, or how have you stayed positive?
Yeah, at the beginning of the year, we had conversations about it. We knew there was going to be a lot of unknown, and just something that we've said since the beginning is the strong is going to survive this season. If we can stick together, if we can stay together, we'll be able to get through whatever's thrown our way. So just lots of communication, checking in on each other all the time, just prioritizing our time together has just been our focus. And I think that's honestly what has gotten us through this, and just everyone's positive attitude. I've just been honestly shocked, but just amazed with the positive attitude throughout this entire program as we went through everything that we went through.
I think it's really hard, and it's really a testament to you guys. You know, I want to go way back. Let's go back to even your high school career. You're at LaSalle High School in Milwaukee. You'd played some games in the state tournament, state championship game at Gill Coliseum. And, you know, was it Oregon State all the way for you back then in high school, or were there other universities that you'd considered?
Yeah, going into kind of high school and starting to get recruited, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to get out of Oregon. I want to get away. Just kind of like, let's go somewhere else. But as I got older, I just kind of fell in love with Oregon State. My relationship with the coaching staff, I've had the opportunity to know Coach Ruick before he even started recruiting me. Just having ties to George Fox, going to a lot of George Fox camps, and then obviously going and watching his games when he was at George Fox and coaching there. So I had the opportunity to build that relationship when I was younger, honestly. So I think as I got older, and just when I started to take visits, and I would come down to Corvallis for games and hang out with the team, that's just when I fell in love, and I knew it was kind of home away from home. You don't find Beaver Nation really anywhere else. Just the support that this program has is one of a kind, and then the coaching staff and who they recruit is what really drew me here, honestly, just because I knew I was going to be surrounded by not only amazing basketball players, but amazing people.
You're a good follow on social media, and I noticed during the Oregon State game in football that you were pretty excited about Jamar Jefferson's TD run, and you know, not. But what was, you should have been in that stadium celebrating. Is there part of you that was like, damn?
Yes, I'm like 3 minutes away, and I can't be there. Less than 3 minutes, honestly. I could have walked to the game. So no, it was killing me having to watch from the TV and having the opportunity to build friendships with a lot of those players it makes it more fun to watch those games, and I get really into them. I'm really invested. Watching Jamar, that huge run he had, I mean, just game overall, amazing game, was awesome.
That rivalry with Oregon, you know, I was in the arena, you know, a little over a year ago on the morning that helicopter crash happened and Kobe and Gianna and seven others passed away. That circle that was made at midcourt before the game, I'll never forget it. It's one of my favorite, most impactful moments when I saw two teams come together. What was it like to be part of that morning and that camaraderie?
Yeah, it was really special. Obviously, you think of that game and just that huge rivalry and the history behind it and just everything that comes to that day of playing against Oregon and just the intense, even there's some tension. It's just like it's a rivalry. But then hearing that news and knowing that there was players on that team that had relationships with Kobe and those families, it was just a special moment. It just showed that the Pac-12 women's basketball especially is a really tight community, and it's a special community. And it just goes beyond basketball, and just having that moment was really special, and it's honestly something I think all the players will remember for a really long time.
Aaliyah Goodman is our guest, Oregon State women's basketball star and your reigning Pac-12 Player of the Week. USA Basketball, what did your experience playing for the United States and being able to travel and see the world a little bit, what did that experience do for you?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really cool. I grew up playing 3-on-3, and so a little different style, obviously, but having the opportunity to play for USA, I remember kind of getting my jersey and sending a picture to my family, and I was like, this is a little unreal. Being able to wear USA across your chest is special. And then the friendships that you build throughout the traveling, I became really close with a lot of those girls, Michaela from UCLA and Bella Allery, who was at Princeton and now is on the Dallas Wings, are two of my close friends now. So you just get to build relationships. But that opportunity was really special and something I'll always remember, because I did have the opportunity to travel the world, go to different countries and play the game I love.
Yeah, it's really been fun to watch you grow and play, and you're part of a team now where you're really being counted on for leadership. How has your role shifted? How do you, when you look back at maybe when you walk through the door to now, you've sort of grown into this role of leader and tent pole for this team, but it's got to be surreal to be part of that.
Yeah, it is for sure. I mean, like you said, I walk into this program and I have these amazing role models that have either been in the program before me or are on my team now. I remember my freshman year, Marie Gulich was that rock for this program, for our team. And she was that leader that everyone looked up to. I remember I just strive to be like Marie in many ways, and just how she led the team and how she carried herself. And then Katie McWilliams and then Michaela Pivick and that class. So yeah, it's a little surreal that it's kind of, I guess you could say, my time now, because you do strive to be in that position. And so yeah, I think my role has definitely changed. You're the person that your teammates and younger players are looking to now. So you have a lot of eyes on you. You have to be vocal and you have to be at your best. And it can be hard. It's like every day I feel like I have to be at my best. But I mean, the coaches, my coaching staff, I'm extremely lucky with who I have as my coaches, and just the communication and relationship I've been able to build with Coach Ruick over these last 4 years have been extremely helpful. Just having him kind of on my side and be able to talk to him about anything, and just a lot of conversations I've came this year because he has helped me in leadership roles. And he's like, hey, like, you don't have to take it all on yourself. Like, you have teammates who can help a lot. And so don't feel like everything's on your shoulders. Yeah, they look to you, but they're also individuals and they can do a lot of great things. So just having that constant communication with him has been really helpful and reassuring for sure.
You miss Sabrina Ionescu in the conference, or goodbye. Nice to play against you and compete, but nice to not have her in the conference.
No, for sure. I mean, Sabrina's an awesome competitor. She makes the game better. She makes everyone around her better. She even makes her competition better because you have to rise to her level. So I'm glad she's moved on. I'm happy she has went to the WNBA. It's nice not having to scout a player like her.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, we've been told that you want to coach someday. And I know basketball has been in your family and it's been part of your life probably since you could pick up a ball. Is there a pro career you want before that? Do you want to play this thing out? And do you still plan on coaching someday?
Yeah. I think, obviously, I think it would be awesome to have a pro career and just play basketball for a while. But I have found kind of a love in coaching. I love just that, just being able to help people and be someone who my coaches have been for me, and just be a role model to younger athletes and be able to help guide them, not only through basketball, but through life and through college. It's a hard time. You're 17, 18 years old when you make your decision as to where you want to go to college. So I just wish, or I hope I can be that person for someone someday. And then just coaching the game and teaching the game is what I love to do. I love just those conversations and helping people see the game in a different way. I definitely do want to get into coaching. That's always something I've strived to be and want to be when I get older. I do want a pro career, and obviously that opportunity would be amazing.
You've got, you know, a program there that's got good coaching. What have you learned at Oregon State that you might carry with you as a coach?
Yeah, I've learned a lot. Obviously, Coach Rook is amazing with the X's and O's, but before all of that, it's all about relationships. And that's something that I've learned a lot about, and just forming the relationships, forming trust. And that's going to kind of take you to the next level if you are able to build relationships with people in real relationships, making sure the person or the player that you're potentially going to be coaching knows you care about them and you want what is best for them. So that's something that I've learned a lot about, and just different relationships. And then obviously on the X's and O's side, I've learned so much, and just my basketball mind has grown so much from having the opportunity to learn from Scott Jonas and Katie and Brian.
Would you like the recruiting part of coaching, or is that part where you're like, I guess it's part of the game, right? If you're going to coach in college.
Yeah, that is one part that I'm a little nervous about, just because it's hard. Obviously, you could say I've done some type of recruiting just on visits with recruits now. Players do play a role in that. But I think it is something I'm a little nervous about, and something that I'll have to kind of learn along the way. So I'm not too nervous, but I'm just kind of excited. I think having the opportunity to learn people's stories and kind of what formed them to who they are today, or into who they are today, is something I think will be awesome. And just creating relationships with people is something I love to do.
You've got a freshman who joined the team, Talia Van Olhoffen, you know, comes in and joins, I think it was January that you suddenly, and has been off to a lights out start. How has that addition helped the team? And you know, obviously, why do you think she's had the success she's had so young?
Yeah, no, Talia's awesome. She's helped our team a lot. I think her successes came from her level to pick up the game. Her basketball IQ is awesome. It's unreal, honestly, for someone her age. You don't really see that very much. But just her IQ and her knowledge of the game, and then obviously her skill set. She's worked really hard. I had the opportunity to watch a little bit in high school, but I remember that first day she got there, and I was like, dang, this girl's good. She's going to be really good. And so then having the opportunity to show that and for other people to see that is awesome. And then I think just the way the coaches and our team have welcomed her and really just helped her. And the coaches have done a great job of trying not to overwhelm her with too much stuff, but then also really coaching her on some of the things some of the really important things. So no, she's been awesome, but I think just her knowledge of basketball and her IQ level has been what's really helped her be successful at this level.
Our guest, Aaliyah Goodman, Oregon State women's basketball player. You know, how much of the social element of college has been absent for you in the last year? How hopeful are you that the next few months may be a return to quote-unquote normalcy as a student? Like, away from basketball, has it been challenging to be at a distance from people and not have it be like it was?
Yeah, it's challenging for sure. Obviously, you don't have that like in-class connection, really. Everything's on Zoom, obviously, and just through online, so that's really hard. I think for me, it's not as difficult because I've had the opportunity to build relationships in my last 3 years, so I have those friendships outside of basketball still. I think I feel mostly for our freshmen and our transfers who haven't had the opportunity to build those relationships or be in, like, the Oregon State normal life, if that makes sense. Yeah. And just kind of building those relationships and having the opportunity. And then obviously they miss out on Beaver Nation and not having that support. Obviously there is a lot of support through the internet and we love that, but it's just different. Person to person contact is huge. So not having that, it is really challenging.
Favorite class you've ever had at Oregon State?
Ooh, that's challenging. I took a leadership class. I minored in leadership, so I took a few leadership classes. But I took one on communication. And it was just really cool to learn about different styles of communication and just kind of different ways to communicate with different people and what way and learning, like, which ways work better for certain people. So I think that's probably one of my favorite classes. I also took a golf class.
Nice.
That
I need a golf class. That's what I need right now.
Yeah, I could probably use a few more golf classes for sure. But
that's something you could use the rest of your life. Like, you can go out and no matter what you do, coaching, whatever, you get into some other field and the rest of your life you can play that game. And you probably feel like you could play basketball for the rest of your life. You know, growing up, what was that like for you growing up? What were games like? Did you play games in the driveway? Who are those influences on you as maybe a middle schooler or a young basketball player?
Yeah. So growing up, all my three older sisters, they all played basketball. So I was constantly at their games in the gym with their teams before I was old enough to play. But my sister Tori, who's 2 years older than me, that's kind of who I went to battle with a lot when it came to the driveway and just workouts and stuff, because we were constantly working out together. And then I think my biggest influence was my dad. He was kind of the one who – he never forced me to do anything. It was all my decision. But he kind of pushed me to become the player that I am today, and just my work ethic, I think I get it from him, and he's one of the hardest workers I know. So just having that role model and person to look up to really helped me see who I can be and just have that vision for myself. He has spent countless hours in the gym with me just working on my shot. He'll say he has a better shot than me and he can beat me in shooting competitions, but we all know that's not true. That's not true. I think I started beating him pretty early. He hasn't won a pick game in a while, but no, he was a huge influence for me. And then my mom is just so supportive in everything I do and one of my biggest fans for sure. And then I've had a trainer, Angie Sun, who's been by my side since I first started playing basketball. And she was a huge, huge influence for me and just has also spent countless hours in the gym with me. So I think those people are really made me to be who I am and just the person I am and the basketball player that I am.
You look like you're having fun out there. I mean, that's the biggest takeaway. Like, you know, you're competing, but you enjoy that and you're doing what you love to do. So keep doing it. And good luck this weekend. You got a big one coming up against Oregon and then Pac-12 tournament in Vegas. And Aaliyah Goodman, keep doing what you do.
Thank you. And thank you for having me.
You bet. There she is, Oregon State women's basketball star, your reigning Pac-12 and national player of the week. Leave it here. Just a terrific interview with Aaliyah Goodman, who gets it done on the basketball court, plays with a lot of joy, will make a really good pro and a great coach someday. She wants to do that. I've enjoyed watching her over the last few years, and I know you have as well, and such a great example of a homegrown player who has stayed inside the state, chose a Pac-12 university, and frankly, the Pac-12 in women's college basketball, you know, I complain a lot about the Pac-12 and what they've done wrong, football, men's basketball, other things, the headquarters being located in San Francisco, the commissioner spending money like a drunken sailor. One of the things they've done right and done really well is women's college basketball. The conference gets it. It's the best conference in the country when it comes to women's college basketball. It's got incredible depth. Oregon State, a great example of that. This brings us to our big splash. It is the one thing that you need to know today.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it.
Where?
Down there.
Must be
the big splash. Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Well, Tiger Woods is recovering from major surgery on his right leg. He had open fractures to both the upper and lower portions of his tibia and fibula in his right leg and damage to the ankle bones, trauma to the muscle and soft tissue of the leg, according to an update released via his own social media account on Tuesday night. The bone was broken in more than two pieces, and the fracture broke the skin. It's a brutal injury. Tiger is lucky to be alive. He was the sole occupant of a 2021 Genesis GV80 SUV, belonged to the golf event that he was taking part in. I wonder if the vehicle not being his own vehicle factored in some part of this. I know when I drive a rental car or some other vehicle, it's always a little bit different. But he was driving northbound downhill in a windy portion of Hawthorne Avenue. It's a two-lane road in Rancho Palos Verdes, and he was driving at a greater speed than normal. His vehicle crossed onto the wrong side of the road, veered off the road and into a hillside, and the LA...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.